Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Out of Bounds podcast. We're back. Sorry I missed last week. I will get into that here shortly. But it's good to be back. I have a lot of news to cover, a lot to talk about. We got Sam joining us now, and we should have Josh on soon. Hopefully we'll have our new logo and theme music sooner rather than later. But what's up, Sam?
What's going on?
Dude, just all kinds of craziness, man. You know, I gotta tell the audience, I'll tell you too, but you know, the last couple of days, man, have been supremely uncomfortable for me, but I was hit with like this bout of just completely crippling anxiety. I wasn't eating. I couldn't sleep. So finally starting to get past that a little bit. Just a lot of shit's been weighing on me. But, dude, I just weighed myself today. And, you know, I've been working out and eating healthy already, but basically not eating for 6 days. I'm down to 217. So it's crazy, man. Like, but the anxiety, dude, that I was just going through with so much stuff going on between work and the kids and health and stuff, and just, man, it was super bad. So I'm glad to be feeling a little bit better today, but man, it was pretty rough for a couple of days there. So glad to be back.
Sorry to hear that, bro. But how many? The question is, how many MIGs do you shoot down every night when you go to sleep?
Oh, 12.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Actually, I don't have the equipment just yet, so it's coming.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I will. You know what? On the next show, Sam, I'll let you pick my call sign.
All right, sounds good. You know what your call sign is going to be, right?
Oh God, I don't even know. Yellow Dragon.
Charmaine. This is Charmaine. I'm at 0500.
Yeah.
Lucky on the target.
Oh, yep. My missiles. Anyway. I missed. Switching the guns. Okay. All right. Jesus Christ. But yeah, it's not comfortable, man. So I'm not looking forward to wearing that fucking thing every night when I go to sleep. But it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, if you got to do it, you got to do it, right?
Yep. So let's talk some NFL free agency, and then after we talk about that, I want to talk about a little bit from like a dynasty and even a fantasy perspective of how some of these signings impact that there. But let's start with some surprising ones, I guess we could talk
breaking.
About. Breaking. What? Did you say breaking?
I said breaking news.
If you're going to talk
news,
about
Josh Trev, 4 minutes late.
Yeah, if you're going to talk about Trev Alberts, we can get to that in a little bit too. But
I was talking about the Bengals. The Bengals looks like they're about to sign Sheldon Rankin.
Oh, very good move for them.
Defensive
okay.
tackle.
Okay.
Yeah, buddy.
Very good news. Saquon Barkley, though. Heading to Philly, what do you guys think about that one? I feel like part of it is Saquon wanted to stick it to the Giants twice because he feels like he should have gotten a bigger contract.
You know what the funny thing is? I don't think that Philly paid him that much more than what
okay.
The Giants offered him last year, but he ended up taking the one-year tender. I think that the Giants don't want him anymore. Like he's come to terms with that. And that's the reason why he went to a division rival, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat as Sam. I think he, like you said, I think he wants to stick it to the Giants and say, hey, that's fine. You didn't want me. Now you got to play against me twice a year.
Yeah.
So have fun. And I think that's a really good move on Philly's part. Because now I think they have a better running back than what they had there currently with Swift and whoever else they had that wasn't very very good. So
right. Well, I mean, the other thing is I think that the the Eagles O-line is superior to the Giants, right? So I think he'll have some running lanes where he didn't have it with the Giants.
We also got to think of how that Jason Kelce retiring affects that offensive line moving forward too.
It'll have a huge impact, I think, early. But the other thing is too is how many touchdowns does Saquon get? Because you know Jalen Hurts from like the 1 yard line, they do the tush push.
I think they're going to ban that though. I think they're talking about banning it this year.
Oh, are they? Okay.
I don't think they have the evidence to ban it though.
I think for safety, I think they're going to. Everybody wants to get rid of it. Everybody in the NFL except for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So
the one thing I was going to say, Mike, is that, you know, in the past, Saquon has had to make his own room. You know, we said this before.
Right.
He's always looking to the home run on a 50-yard or a 40-yard or things of that nature instead of looking to pick up 5-7 yards, which is probably smarter. But with Philly, with Jalen Hurts being there, I think he'll have to work less in getting those 50-yarders, 40-yarders, the long runs that he's always searching for, really.
But Jalen's going to have to improve. I thought he took a big step back last year compared to the year they went to the Super Bowl. I thought Brian – and I know they got rid of – didn't they get rid of Brian Johnson, their OC? I think they fired him, right? But they're going to have to fix that offense because it didn't look good, especially down the stretch. Philly looked – the last – 7 weeks of the season, then going into the playoffs, they just looked like a completely lost team. And Jalen Hurts,
when they lost to the Jets, from there, I think it was just a little bit downhill. Truthfully,
yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. And I don't know Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's got talent. I think he's a good quarterback. I think that when so many people have recency bias, and when he dueled Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl and barely lost, I think people kind of put Hurts up there as like, oh, he's a top five quarterback now. And I was like, okay, he had a really good season. Let's see if he can continue it, right? Let's see if he can continue it over the long term, because the year before they got smoked by Tampa Bay in the playoffs. They got crushed in the wild card or divisional round. Then they went to the Super Bowl. Then last year they got smoked in the wild card round again. So until I see some consistency from Jalen Hurts, it's hard for me. You know, Jalen Hurts is not like Lamar Jackson or some of these other cats who have been doing it for 3, 4, 5 years in a row where we can say, yeah, we know what they are. They're really good. I'm curious now, if Jalen Hurts once again has a really good season and takes the Eagles on a run, maybe even to like the NFC Championship game, okay, I'll give them this prop. But if they struggle and they miss the playoffs or they get bounced in the wild card round again, I'm going to say maybe Jalen Hurts isn't the guy. And now they got Saquon. They got A.J. Brown. They got Devontae Smith. They got Dallas Goedert. There's no excuses for Jalen. And there's no reason for Philly not to have at least a top seven offense in the NFL. Absolutely no reason.
I think they should have had it last year with who they had, right? Even with Swift, you would fall maybe into the top 10 maybe. I would say, but still, you have the weapons with A.J. Brown and everybody else there. You still have the weapons. They should have made top 10 last year.
Yeah, they should have. So it's real interesting. That's a team I'm going to be watching closely this year. They're going to be under a lot of scrutiny as well. So it's going to be really big to see if they can kind of rebound from last year. Another team making waves recently is the Tennessee Titans. They're also a team that's being rumored as a favorite to trade for L'Jarius Sneed with the Chiefs. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that AFC South is no longer a joke. The Texans got a quarterback, C.J. Stroud, very good. We don't know if the Colts have a quarterback yet because Anthony Richardson basically played in 3 games last year and then got hurt. So jury's out. Jacksonville has a quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, and we don't know if Tennessee has a quarterback. But overall roster-wise, Jacksonville, Houston, and the Colts are all pretty good. Tennessee's gotten better. So it's going to be interesting to watch that. But they just paid Calvin Ridley $92 million over 4 years. They got DeAndre Hopkins there. I was talking to some people before, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, guys, but this to me feels a lot like when the Dolphins went out and spent a ton of money to surround Tua with talent, because what they wanted to see is if he was the guy. And Tua has shown, with the better talent around him, to be capable. Now, he hasn't won anything of significance. Last year, they got bounced in the playoffs early. He didn't play. He was hurt. This year, they get smoked by Kansas City in that game, but at least they won a playoff game. So I still think Tua can get it done, possibly. But to me, Miami's still a little soft. But this feels to me like Tennessee's like, okay, we think we might have something in Will Levis, but we're going to surround him with people, and we're going to see if he can get it done. And if he can't, we'll draft somebody who can.
But I'll say one thing, though. You know, Calvin Ridley and Tyreek Hill are by no means, like, in comparison with each other, right?
So
adding a 29-year-old wide receiver that, yes, he put up decent numbers last year. He had, like, 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns, 76 catches. He was good last year, but he's not $92 million wide receiver. You know,
understood, but you also have to think that he lost basically 2 years, 1 year because he had that mental breakdown and he quit after 7 games, then he got suspended for an entire year. So Calvin Ridley might be 29, but he's probably really, his body's probably like 27. Because if you think about
it's fine. Given that, though, let's knock off 2 years on his age.
Yeah.
But he was never a top-tier receiver prior to that. He had one breakout year after Julio Jones left, and he was the focal point of that Falcons wide receiver group. That's
right.
He had one breakout year.
I'm not comparing Calvin Ridley to Tyreek Hill, but what I will say is, what the Titans are doing, though, they brought in DeAndre Hopkins last year. They have Calvin Ridley now. They went out and signed Tony Pollard. They have Tyjae Spears there. They're probably going to add another receiver or offensive lineman at number 7, or they might trade down at a pick to get some more draft capital. But I feel like the Titans are loading up so that they can see what they have. I think it's clear that they don't believe in Malik Willis, because they just went out and signed Mason Rudolph as to be the backup quarterback. And I think that this is going to be like, okay, what do we have in Levis? Can he get it done? Because if he can't, he's only a second-round pick. He's a second-round pick. His contract's only for 4 years. If he can't get it done, then you know that next year – you got to go possibly draft someone who can.
Now, I want to go back to what you said about Tua in the Kansas City game. I think the Dolphins are built for speed in warm weather or in a dome. When they have to face a cold weather team like they did in Kansas City, granted, I don't think the NFL should have played that game with the temperatures, but they did.
Yeah.
That's why I think the Dolphins team got beat and got smoked, because earlier in the season, the Dolphins were right there with the Chiefs in that one game. It was a very close game. They should have won that game, but they turned it over 3 times pretty quickly. And then to your point about Will Levis, I don't think he's that bad of a quarterback. There was times that he looked great. When he had time in the pocket, he had weapons around him, he did look pretty damn good. So I think that's why I think the hype is a little bit better on Levis. If he's got the weapons, he's got a good running game, I think they'll be better than they were last year. Maybe by not much, maybe two games, I would say. I think they should be able to win.
They do have the benefit of playing the last place schedule. Right?
Exactly.
And
we'll, two extra games, baby.
We're going to see what Houston does in year 2. We're going to see what Indianapolis is made of. And we're going to see if Jacksonville can bounce back. But that division, which was really terrible for the longest time, is not bad anymore. It's really not. I would say, for my money, the weakest division in the AFC is the AFC. right now.
The AFC
really
what?
West. AFC West is the weakest division. The Raiders, okay, they don't have a quarterback. The Broncos, they don't have a quarterback. And the Chargers, they got some talent, but they're cap strapped, and they're about to – they already cut Mike Williams. They're about to possibly release Joey Bosa and Keenan Allen. I don't know how good the Chargers will be right away, and it's just the Chiefs. If I'm looking at it between the AFC East next year, you got the Bills and the Dolphins, and the Jets you have to think will be better if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy unless he's off running for VP. So
do you think if the – hypothetically, do you think if the Chargers do release Joey Bosa, that would be somebody the Bengals might go after?
I would like to say so. I don't – I mean –
Because
to be honest,
they can cut Sam Hubbard at that time.
And that division, you got to get after the quarterback. The Bengals have the weakest pass rush of any team in that division, but we probably have the best quarterback. But we don't have, you know, the Browns got Myles Garrett. The Steelers got T.J. Watt. The Ravens have, I can't remember the dude's name, but they don't have guys that are elite sack people, but they can stop you from scoring points. So we have the weakest defense in the division, and that's not to say that our defense is bad, but our division is
defense was terrible last year.
It was terrible last year. I think it'll be better this year because a lot of the young guys got experience, and I really like the Geno Stone signing for Cincinnati, taking him from Baltimore. But I don't know, man. I think if Bosa's out there, I still believe this, and I told Sam this and told you this, Josh. The Bengals should go all in for a championship in these next 2 to 3 years. Go all in. Buy people. You have a ton of cap space, and then if you need to, rework the contracts of Joe Burrow. And I'm going to say this now on air. I love Joe Burrow, but if he wants to win championships, he better start taking a fucking page out of Patrick Mahomes' book, because Patrick Mahomes has once again reworked his contract to free up $21 million in cap space. Not only is Patrick Mahomes the most talented quarterback in the NFL, but he's also doing things to free up money.
Wait. Real quick. You can do that when you have a team that's constantly moving forward. Like, see, the problem is, yeah, he took pay cuts and he's doing all that stuff, but his cap hit in his later years is just going to grow. So there's going to come a point where
he's going to
get old, and he'll be at the end of his contract, it'll be like $70 million if you want to keep him for the year.
But it doesn't matter.
No, but I think what he's doing,
Sam, it doesn't matter if he's 37, if his cap hit starts to grow as he's 37, if he's already got 6 Super Bowl rings. What the fuck does it matter?
No, I agree. I agree. But you know, taking a hit while the team is still not ready, not fully there, doesn't make sense for either one of them.
The Bengals are there.
Well, I mean,
you can't say that the Bengals aren't fully ready. They went to a Super Bowl and back-to-back AFC title games, and Burrow got hurt. They're ready. That team is the only team that has shown it can go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. It's the only one. Every other team has shit their pants or lost. So the Bengals are there. So I'm saying go after Joey Bosa. Go after some of these other guys. Load up. Try to win at least one Super Bowl. One.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
Did Pat Mahomes take the – is he getting a signing bonus? Because if he does, that money, all it's doing is just moving that money. Instead of it being a bigger cap hit, he's taking the upfront money. That way the cap is lower for the hit. That's what Josh Allen just did with the bill. He took a signing bonus, and it saved them $17 million towards the cap.
Yeah.
It's not
I have no
extending
idea.
The cap
it's, out he
longer.
Restructured. He adjusted the contract. So I didn't go into details about how they moved it around. But they just said that he restructured his contract, and that's how they were able to sign Chris Jones.
And what they probably did is give him a big signing bonus. That's usually what these teams are doing, is giving signing bonuses to all of them. If the Bengals are smart, and if they can finagle a trade to go get Justin Jefferson.
You
know, you can sign him. I think we talked earlier about it. We can sign him to a short-term deal, 3 years. We give him $100 million, right? He's going to make $33 million, even if it's $120 for 3 years. You put $50 million as a signing bonus. Then it's only 3 years technically over $70 million. That brings that cap hit down, and you could keep players like that.
Just so you know, when you the signing bonus, you can't just turn everything to a signing bonus. There's a prorated amount against the cap that still takes a hit. It's just less.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, I know.
Well,
but that helps me not to do that though.
No, I agree.
Sorry guys, I just want to. Sam, you were asking about this. I don't know how they did it, but Sam does have a point with it coming due a little bit later. It's actually coming due very soon, but so. In 2024, Mahomes' cap hit was set for $58.6 million, okay? They reworked it, so it'll be $37 million this year. But then it goes to $66 million in 2025 and $68.7 million in 2026.
No, I mean, I get it. You're buying a championship by deferring and using that money to build now, more or less, right?
It's not deferring it that long, really, just by a year, right? Because it jumps $66 million next year. But I guess if you already have Chris Jones and some of these other guys locked up, you can do some other things. But that's $70 million for one player that's why the salary cap, that's why they've increased it, Josh. I feel like they might have heard what you were saying when they said we should have a separate salary cap for quarterbacks than the rest of the roster, because I feel like they increased because with the growing financial commitments to these players. And it's crazy. Some of these quarterbacks make way too much fucking money. Like, really,
way too much fucking money.
I feel like it should almost be capped out, right? Like, I feel like anymore, whoever's is up for a contract is going to get $55-60 million. Like, does Dak Prescott really deserve $55 million a year? No. You know, like when Jordan Love, when his contract comes up, and like, are we going to be talking about Jordan Love getting $60 million a year? Like, I'm sorry, but like Patrick Mahomes deserves $55 million.
He might be
right?
The only quarterback right now that deserves every penny. Of that contract for the year.
I would say I don't think Joe Burrow deserves $50 million a year. Like you said,
he has to play in order to justify that money, though.
Exactly.
So that's the only thing about Burrow. He has to play.
I agree, 100%, man. That's been the biggest thing is can he stay healthy? And the Bengals got to protect him. And Jonah Williams just left to go to the Arizona Cardinals, so.
But, you know the reason why the salary cap is going up is because the NFL is making a shit ton more money.
Oh,
the
that's
profits
true.
Are up big time.
Right, it is the only league that is – oh, my God. What is that in the background, dude? Do you need to mute that shit? Sounds like someone's getting murdered.
Hey.
that was the dog chasing the baby, and I had to chase the dog real quick.
But, you know, I don't want to get too far off topic. I have some other things I want to cover, too. But the NFL is the only one where the ratings are consistently high, and it's where people tune in. I think fantasy sports helps a lot with football. But, like, baseball is doing a little bit better. But how can you gamble on baseball? Well, what's the over-under, 6 runs? What are the Yankees going to win by -2? Like, it's hard to bet on baseball, I feel like. But
the baseball prop bets are shit, man.
Yeah.
Here's where I think the NFL's making a shit ton of money is the international game. I think since they're going international, that's opening that market up, and a lot more people are tuning in over in Europe.
Basketball's been international, though, and they're still
not
drawing.
But basketball's not football.
Yeah, but football makes a point because in Europe, in you know, pretty much in China, all these countries, they have very good basketball leagues, their own leagues where, you know, players come from. Your Lukas, your Jokic's,
yeah.
Those guys come from those leagues,
Giannis,
that they're in.
Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis. You know, all those guys, they're coming from fairly competitive leagues, I would say, in Europe. The NFL doesn't even have a comparison of a game to point to when you go international.
And basketball, doesn't sell the ratings. Can I tell you guys why I believe basketball doesn't draw the ratings that the NFL does? Because basketball is a fast-paced game, up and down. It's very exciting to watch. I think people are starting to tune out basketball players because I think it's the league of entitlement. And I think people see these guys and they're like, man, I got to play in 65 games. That's crap to be on all pro to win awards. That's stupid. Or I need load management. I need to sit out for this. Or I got this thing's bothering me. I got a little sprained ankle and I'm going to have to sit out 6 games for it. Like, I don't think people identify with the NBA players anymore. And NFL players, I get it. It's a much shorter season, but it's a much more brutal sport. And they see guys playing with separated shoulders. They see guys playing through injuries. They see guys showing up to play every single week. And in basketball, you don't see that. And nobody plays fucking defense. Everybody's just kind of lottie-dying. And the other thing, and I think, Sam, I might have touched on it with you or maybe Josh, but in the NBA, there's no rivalries anymore. NFL still has heated rivalries. Bengals and Steelers, Bengals and Ravens, fucking Jets and Patriots, teams that that just flat out don't fucking like each other. Right,
Cowboys, and even if both the teams suck, everyone shows up to watch that game because it's a rivalry game.
Exactly. Cowboys and Giants, Cowboys and Eagles, right? Rivalries. What's the rivalry in the NBA now? There is none.
Can I just make one point, though, to your point that you were saying about the number of games? So when you have 82 and you have 17, right, you can afford – because they get game checks just like everybody else, right? You can afford to take a couple of games off. In the NFL, you cannot afford to do that, literally. Your salary, you can't afford it, right?
Fine, but your game is easy. You run up and down the court. It's not physical anymore. It's not like in the 80s and 90s where guys were getting fucking clotheslined in the paint. It's not like that anymore. The travel is better. It's a soft generation. It's a soft, S-O-F, capital T, soft.
Yeah, and besides... And you got to think, besides the international money, because like I said, no one internationally watched football until we started going over to London, correct? So that's a huge revenue increase that they've got now that they have a bigger market. And now they're starting to get Amazon to pay millions of dollars to stream a game. We just seen it with NBC, $100 million to stream one game in the playoffs. Now I think Amazon's paying $150 for the next one. That's a lot of money for one game.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of revenue the NFL is making up. So I think that's why the salary cap's going to continue to rise, because I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger with all these contracts.
Yeah. All right.
And now
guys,
we're going down to Brazil.
I want to, we only got about 30 minutes left, so I want to get to some other things briefly before we kind of wrap up our show. But I don't know if you saw the news, but Mike Tyson is fighting Jake Paul. Mike Tyson's 57 years old. Saw some training videos of him. He looks quick as shit and powerful as ever. Does he have the stamina? I don't know. I have some concerns on this fight because I realistically don't think that Jake Paul stands a chance. But
well, is there a rule
Jake
that Jake Paul
is going to go to Mike Tyson's and say, make me look good, or I'll knock me out, or I'll let you, or maybe you just let me win and we'll make sure we get a huge payday?
I think
all
Jake
of Jake
Paul's
contracts are set up that way. Contracts are set up that way.
Okay.
I think you said Jake Paul gets to wear headgear during that fight, too.
Okay.
So I've got to look at the rules. I think that was one of the stipulations.
Realistically, though, fellas, I know Mike Tyson's 57 years old. If Jake Paul didn't put it in the contract stipulation, don't knock me out. Like, let's just say, and we'll never know if that's true or not, you know, but let's just say straight up, they're boxing. Would you give Jake Paul any chance in that fight?
No.
No. Even at 58, absolutely fucking not.
Yeah.
No, you still got one of the hardest punters ever in boxing. You don't lose
right.
that overnight. I'm sorry.
No, you
the only problem, I think the only problem is that if Jake sneaks a couple of good hits, then Mike Tyson does not have the chin to handle punches like that anymore.
You're right.
That's the only thing I could say.
I don't – but here's
True.
The thing. Mike Tyson's speed looks – insane right now. Like I'm trying to find this training video that I saw. Here, I'm gonna send it. I'm gonna text it to you guys right now.
Oh, I've seen it, dude. That's a lot of speed.
For his age, that's crazy. It's crazy. And that power, he's knocking this dude back. He's making him step back, and he's wearing like a bodysuit and stuff like that to like stop the punch. He's not, you know, he's not sparring. Like, it's honestly, it's insane. I don't know. Jake Paul hasn't fought a real boxer, right? Jake Paul's boxing record has been mostly against MMA people, right? Like, it's hard for me. Like, and I think, didn't he lose to Fury? Didn't he lose to Tommy Fury?
That was a decision. That was like it went the distance.
Yeah, it was a split decision. Right? Split decision. Fine. You beat Anderson Silva by decision. You beat Tyron Woodley, Ben Askren, whoever. You haven't fought.
Nate Diaz most recently.
Yeah, you beat Nate Diaz. MMA is completely different from boxing. Just like boxing is completely different from MMA. I could take the best boxer in the world right now. I could take Tyson Fury, best heavyweight boxer, and if I put him in a UFC ring with John Jones is destroying the fuck out of Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, no
chance I think Anthony Joshua answered that question on last Friday.
When
with
he
Francis
knocked
Ngannou.
Out of Francis Ngannou? Yeah.
Dude,
right.
I think Tyson Fury didn't really train for that fight, and I think that caught a lot of people off guard how good Ngannou was in that fight. And I think Joshua seen it. It took the fight as a real fight, and you actually seen the difference between an MMA and an actual boxer that takes it serious. These boxers will knock the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
See, I think Tyson could have knocked out. Francis, but like I said, it was almost like an exhibition bout, you know.
I think it was really strange.
They just kind of danced. They did a couple things. They made it entertaining, and that's about it.
And the other two guys, Paul has fought. No one's ever heard of. They were boxers, Andre August and Ryan Borland. He knocked them both out in the first round. I'm sorry, those guys. No one's ever heard of. They. I don't even know if they're professional boxers, and if they are professional boxers, they probably have a handful of fights under their belt. Mike Tyson is a former world champion, and even though he's 57, this is a giant step up in competition for him.
Oh, this is probably the most talented fighter he's going to fight, you know, when it comes 100%, to boxing.
100%, he's the most talented, and I thought it was funny when he tried to call out Saul Alvarez a year or two ago. I'm like, you ain't ready. Saul Alvarez will eat your fucking lunch. You're not.
Yeah,
I mean,
I want to see a guy like Terrence Crawford or like, you know, a real boxer go up against Paul. You know,
he wouldn't last.
That's what I would like to see his ass get knocked out by someone like that.
Fine, he wants to transition to boxing, then do it. If he wants to be a real boxer, do it the right way. Go the amateur route. Start fight real boxers, fight 30, 40 amateur fights, and then go professional.
Right.
You know, that's
kind
how
of what
every
Tommy Fury is doing, right? In a way, Tommy Fury.
Yeah.
Tommy Fury's taking almost the same route, or he has been taking almost the same route the last couple of years.
So here's some of the rules for this fight. And like I said, so both fighters are going to wear headgear and gloves, which are bigger than the usual 18-ounce gloves. So they're going to wear bigger gloves.
So can I interrupt for a second? Everyone's afraid that, you know, there's going to be a Vitor Belfort. He fought Evander Holyfield, I believe. Like a 60-year-old at Holyfield, and he knocked him out.
This the headgear thing is being challenged as saying it's fake news, that it's just a rumor.
They have this as the rule. I mean, I just pulled it up, and that's what it said. I don't know. I Googled the rule. Indy100.com.
This is TalkSports.com, and this was on a couple other ones saying that they're not going to wear headgear.
Yeah, this one was 2 days ago that they won't wear a headgear, and then 10 hours ago it says they will.
Oh, okay. I don't know, but can I just say that if you have to wear headgear for a fight, you're not ready to fight that person.
Right. And is the headgear for Paul or is it for Tyson?
For both, they said. Well, I mean, who knows? They might have got ridiculed so bad so they took it away. Because that could have been rules to begin with. And they're like, oh, shit, we're getting so much backlash because we're going to lose a shit ton instead of get a bunch of money.
I'll be honest with you. Having all these giant rules, 18-ounce gloves and head guards, like, people are like, Derek Chisora, who's a professional fighter, is like, so he was talking to people. He's like, wait, head guards and 18-ounce gloves? What is this, a sparring match? He's like, you want people to pay money for a pay-per-view and it's a glorified sparring match with these giant gloves? So, I don't know, man. I'm telling you. If Jake Paul wants to stick to that, people are going to make fun of him. They already don't think he's a – real boxers don't believe Jake Paul's a real boxer. That's the skinny of it. Real fighters aren't sitting there wowed at Jake Paul for knocking out these MMA guys because, to be honest with you, every other boxer would do it too. Terrence Crawford, like you mentioned, Sam, Saul Alvarez, anybody else would knock these MMA guys out. Now, I'm not knocking the sport of MMA. I'm just saying, in MMA, when you can throw legs and you can wrestle and you can submit people as well as try to knock them out with punches, it is a hell of a lot more things you have to watch and a hell of a lot more disciplines you have to train for than just standing there throwing punches and knowing how to duck and dodge. You know what I mean? Like, it's a completely different discipline. So, And I don't know. I think if Jake Paul fights Mike Tyson straight up, I think Mike Tyson will knock Jake Paul out in a manner of two or three rounds. Because, Josh, you said it, when you have a powerful punch, that punch is the last thing to go. Your athleticism and your stamina might go away, but that punch is the last thing to go, and that's all he needs.
And he was a master at that, right? That was his that was his specialty. His power was his specialty, right?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, because he had that short he's got very short arms, so he carries a lot of punching power with the short arms. Because you can get a lot. When you can snap your shoulder, dude, it's brutal.
Yeah. 100%. All right, so I have breaking news, and it makes me very sad to announce this. I have breaking news for my beloved Nebraska Cornhuskers. I don't know if we're ever going to get back because now politics are completely ruining the university, and it's right now things are not good. But Trev Alberts, the athletic director, is leaving Nebraska to take the same position at Texas A&M.
Yeah, I've seen that.
things are not good at Nebraska now. Ted Carter, our president, had left to go take the same job at Ohio State. The governor and several other people apparently are working against the university. There's some other shit going on behind the scenes that makes me a little bit concerned that Matt Rhule will eventually leave Nebraska too, unless we can lock down a good president and a really good AD. But it does.
What does that do for Dominic Raiola for you guys?
I don't know if it does anything in the short term, but I will say this. If Nebraska struggles next year or Matt Rhule leaves for another job, I could see him transferring out. So right now things are not looking good. I don't know if it'll get better, but right now it's extremely disheartening considering Trev Alberts went to school and played at Nebraska and he's leaving, which tells you that behind the scenes, some shit's not going well. So we'll see what happens with
that. Speaking of that, what do you think about the fucking news today with Ohio State's running back coach
going to Michigan,
leaving the job and going to Michigan?
Crazy!
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? What the hell? What the hell is happening at Ohio State? How are you going to go to fucking your rival?
That's tough.
I think the writing's on the wall for Ryan Day on there too. That's the reason why Chip Kelly. I mean, what's his name? Is there as an OC?
Chip Kelly. I don't know, man. It's gonna be crazy. I still think Ohio State's the best team in the Big Ten this year, hands down. I think they got a ton of talent. I think there's two teams that I could see knocking on the door with them, and that's Penn State and Oregon this year. Those two teams I think are also very good and well set up. Michigan, I don't think they're gonna fall off a cliff. But I think Michigan's headed for like a 9-3 type season this year because they have a new head coach and they got to break in a brand new quarterback and a lot of new players. So I think Michigan this year they'll be like 9-3 or something like that. And I think maybe next year they'll be again competing for the Big Ten. But I think this year there's three teams in my mind that can win the Big Ten, and that's Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State, and that's it. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to talk more college football as you know, the summer stuff draws near. But there's another college sport that's getting to the time of year where everybody starts to pay attention, and it's March Madness. The conference tournaments are – some of the smaller conferences have wrapped up already, and then some of the bigger conferences started yesterday and today, or started yesterday and Monday. So I don't know how much you guys have been paying attention, and I don't know if you guys are equipped to talk about this, but I am if you are not. But I was kind of curious, some sleeper teams that you guys might have for the tournament, but I did want to put this stat out there. The last 12 national champions have all been ranked in Ken Pomeroy's college basketball ratings in the top 30 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. Okay, so there's about 15. There's several teams that fit that mold where they're in the top 30 of both. Okay, but I still think there's a couple sleeper teams that may not make a run to the national title game, but that can get to the Sweet 16 or Final Four. So if you guys want me to start, I will gladly start. If you guys have some teams, if you guys know teams off the top of your heads, I'll listen. But if you guys want me to kick this segment off, I will be glad to kick it.
I'm going to go ahead and throw my hat for one of them. I think that Purdue looks good this year.
They're not really
the
number three team in the country.
No, I know. I feel like they can go far in the tournament this year.
Oh, you don't think that they can go far? Okay, I see.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
They'll be one of the first upsets again.
Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so here's a team that I like as my sleeper team. They just won the Missouri Valley Conference, okay? They're 37th in offensive efficiency, 77th in defensive efficiency. But they did beat Indiana State to take the Missouri Valley Conference. I think Drake is very capable of going on a run in the tournament and making at least the Sweet 16. They got really good shooters, and I think that they've proven that they can play with a lot of teams.
Yeah, no, is that he's at the Indy 500?
Yeah, clearly. Jeez. All right, and then another sleeper team. I got Nevada. Nevada ranks 41st in adjusted efficiency, 31st. So they just missed being in the top 30 in both. Currently, I believe that Joe Lunardi on ESPN has Nevada. Let me see what he has them as a fifth seed currently, and he has them. You know, this isn't the end all be all, but he has them in the Midwest bracket with Purdue. So could I see Nevada making the Sweet 16 and playing Purdue and then upsetting Purdue? 100% I could. I could see Nevada making a run from that bracket to the Final Four, even. If Lunardi's bracket stays kind of scratch, which it usually doesn't, but in the Midwest bracket, the number one seed he has is Purdue. The number two seed is Marquette. And the number three seed, Iowa State. I truly believe Nevada is good enough to beat all those teams to make it to the Final Four. So those are two of my kind of sleeper picks that I could see going on a run, Drake and Nevada.
I think you said another one. If they do get in, Indiana State.
Yes.
I think they can make a run. I watched one or two of their games, and they just looked amazing. So, but
the only problem
I haven't watched a lot of college football or basketball this year, but the one team that I think will win the whole tournament again is UConn. I just think that there's something about that team that is really, really good, and I think they're going to end up winning again. I think they're going to go back-to-back.
UConn's very good, but I have my sights set on two other teams to win it all. I think UConn can, but I'm looking at Houston and Arizona right now. Houston's defense.
I was just
going to
say Houston, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no, because when they played UC at UC, I don't think they looked very good. And when you have Bama Day, whatever UC center is, that fucking big tall guy, that dude is garbage, hot garbage. As soon as UC flipped to the other guy, UC was making runs on Houston. And I think they could have upset Houston that game if that was your main player playing center.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. Cincinnati, they lost twice to Houston, once by 5, once by 8. So they didn't get blown out by Houston, but that to me doesn't mean anything. Teams can play other teams tight, and it doesn't really mean a lot. Houston also, Houston beat Dayton, who's a likely tournament team, okay? They beat Texas Tech. They beat BYU. They lost to Kansas once and then just recently came back and just smoked Kansas 76-46, okay? So the Big 12 is also going to send the most teams to the tournament this year. They have 9 teams looking at getting bids. So I don't know, man. And Houston, they're very, very good. And to only have 3 losses on the season?
I'm not saying they're not good. When I was there and I actually watched the game, I don't think they were that good. They didn't play like some
they
had, other
team. They, like Mike was saying, they beat a good BYU team too. Now I thought BYU would be able to go kind of far too in the tournament, but I don't know. Houston looks really good.
Well, we all said they looked very good last year, too, and look what happened.
But didn't Houston make the Final Four last year?
I don't think so. I thought they got upset.
No, hold on. I'll tell you guys in a second. And by the way, Houston has the number one defense currently in the country, number one in defensive efficiency. But, okay, Kelvin Sampson's there at Houston. They made the Final Four in 2021. They reached the Elite Eight in 21-22, and then they lost in the Sweet 16 last year.
Yeah, and that was their best team was last year, and they got upset. That's what I'm saying.
But honestly, Josh, anything can happen in a one-and-done tournament, right? I would say that in March Madness, the four best teams don't generally make the Final Four. Because how many times did UConn make the Final Four and win the national title as an 8 seed or 9 or 7 seed? They did it with Shabazz Napier and Kemba Walker twice. But both those years, I don't think UConn was one of the best teams. So I would say we would get the four best teams in the Final Four if this was a best of three series, right? If every round of the tournament was a best of three series, which would take forever. But we don't get that, right? It's a one and done, and anybody can have an off game, off night. So I still think Houston has as good a shot as any to make the title game, especially with their defense.
You made a good point earlier, Mike. A while ago, you mentioned that some of these top ranked teams have one and done freshman players, or they're constantly churning their roster. Whereas you have other smaller programs that have 3 year, 4 year players that have been up there for 4 years, playing team ball, playing better basketball, I would say. And you could have an upset very easily when you have a young team against, let's say, a more seasoned, more veteran college team.
Well, and to your point there, of the starting five for Houston, they have three seniors in their starting five. Does Kentucky have that? Does North Carolina? Probably not. And so that's the other thing,
Josh.
You cannot talk. UConn and Purdue might have to check, but that's the other thing. When it comes to tournament time, there's a big maturity difference in 21 and 22-year-old kids compared to 18 and 19-year-olds.
Those 21-year-olds know what it feels like to be in the tournament, to have the game on the line. They've been there before.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be a good tournament. I would say here's my four teams that I think have a chance to win it all, and this is based on their offensive and defensive efficiency ratings. I think it's Houston, Connecticut, Tennessee, and Arizona. Now, Houston and Tennessee both rank in the top five in defensive efficiency, and then Houston's 12th in offensive, and Tennessee's 25th. Connecticut is 12th in defensive efficiency and 3rd in offensive efficiency. So that's another reason why I think Connecticut is up there for me. And then Arizona is 8th in offensive efficiency and 16th in defensive efficiency. There's not a single team that has a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. Houston just missed it with 12th on offense and number one on defense, and Connecticut just missed it with 3 on offense and 12th on defense. So to me, the other reason why I look at the defensive efficiency and why that's important, why I think like Houston and to your point, Connecticut too, is if the offense is having an off night, you can still rely on that defense to carry you through. So, anyways, boys, we got to do brackets, right? Are we going to get a bracket challenge going on and see who gets the most picks right? Are we going to do that this year? Get a bunch of people involved? Okay.
I think we should.
All right. That sounds good to me, man. All right, last thing. We'll wrap up. We got about five minutes left. I know we're only in March. We're ways away from football season starting and fantasy football starting. But for us dynasty folks, the negotiations and the scouting and the team building is year round. So I want to ask you some players, and from you can talk about it from a dynasty perspective or even just redraft for going into the year. I don't care. But I'm going to give some players, and I want you guys to kind of tell me what kind of impact that has, if any. So let's start with Derrick Henry going to the Ravens. Does he have any juice left?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So,
Josh, 100%. I think that's going to extend his career.
Okay. Do you guys think that he finishes as a top 25 running back in fantasy?
Yep, I do.
That one, top 25, yes. But I think with him, it depends on how the offense is going to be ran, right? If it's
okay,
they're going to concentrate more on the running, or if they're going to let Lamar kind of do what he's been doing. If Lamar is going to do what he's going to be doing, I don't think so.
Okay.
Derrick Henry will get his points via touchdowns only.
Okay.
I don't think he'll have the yardage, but you'll have a bunch of 2-touchdown games, maybe even a 3-touchdown game, and it depends, you know, on like you said, how the offense is running. But Derrick Henry, I think at this point now, the Ravens want to take a little bit of stress off of Lamar when it comes to running.
So,
and he provides,
is it fair
that
to
relief.
Say that if the Ravens utilize Derrick Henry, much like the Steelers utilize Jerome Bettis, where Bettis was far – when he got to Pittsburgh, he still had a couple thousand-yard seasons when he was like – because he got there when he was 24, okay? But as Bettis got older, once he hit 30 – he was the third down short yardage goal line back. So I want to tell you this. Once he hit 30, and then they got Willie Parker there, Bettis ran for 666 yards and 9 touchdowns, 811 yards and 7 touchdowns, 941 yards and 13 touchdowns, and 368 yards and 9 touchdowns. He was basically like a fullback, short yardage back. So to your point, Sam, if they use him as a touchdown-dependent role, so maybe Derrick Henry, instead of running for 120, 150 yards, he'll run for 50 yards, but if he gets a touchdown or two, he still has value in fantasy football, right? And you got Keaton Mitchell there still. They could utilize Keaton Mitchell as, like, the explosive back and Derrick Henry as the move-the-chain short yardage back. And I think if they utilize them like that with Lamar Jackson still doing, like, some of the quarterback-designed runs, I think he can be very effective. Now, if they brought him in to be a 200-carry, 300-carry guy, I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, I think those days are done where he's going to get the ball 30 times a game. I think those days are done.
I
agree with that for sure.
Okay.
I don't think he has the legs or the health to do that either.
What about Aaron Jones in Minnesota?
So it's a little bit of a similar scenario, right? So, like, you have Chandler who's going to be kind of spelling Jones. But hopefully, he'll sit back and be explosive as he was with Green Bay. But I don't see it. I don't see him turning into a better version of himself. Whereas Henry can still give you something. Jones, maybe receiving. Possibly. That could be his chops.
What about you, Josh? Josh, you there? Oh,
sorry.
Maybe not.
Okay. No, I just stepped away from my phone real quick. Sorry.
Okay.
What?
I was asking about Aaron Jones going to Minnesota. Like, what do you think of that from a fantasy perspective?
It's hard because I don't know who the quarterback is going to be there, right?
Yeah.
And I think Minnesota's kind of going to be in that downward spiral right now. until they get a quarterback. I think that's kind of why Justin Jefferson is declining the big contract that he was offered.
He doesn't want to sign and be like Larry Fitzgerald, where he's going to play for 12 different quarterbacks. Yeah,
exactly. So I think Minnesota's going to be in a complete rebuild. Aaron Jones, he's injury prone. They've also kind of, their offensive line is kind of anymore. I mean, we've seen that with Alexander Mattison last year and the other guy. They just couldn't run the ball very well. So I don't think Aaron Jones is going to move the needle. So he for me, he's going to be a late round back that you'll probably pick up, what, 7th, 8th round?
Okay. Fair enough.
He had a little bit of value in a PPR league, but like in a standard league, I could see him dropping. But even then, like who's your guy that backs him up is Ty Chandler.
Yeah, Ty Chandler, and Ty Chandler is not. I mean, he flashed a little bit last year, but it's not like he's got like some big person there that he's going to be competing. Like I still think Aaron Jones can be effective. So. I you're right, Sam. In a PPR league, I could see him maybe slipping to like the 5th or 6th round potentially. I maybe not further than that. It also depends on what else Minnesota does in the draft in this offseason. If they happen to trade up or they happen to snag a quarterback in the draft that turns out to be pretty good, like if they end up going getting Michael Penix or somebody or Jaden Daniels, I could see the Vikings offense popping. But I know we're running out of time.
I'm hearing and seeing J.J. McCarthy is on their radar.
He's a bust.
That would be a terrible decision.
He's a bust. He's Jake Locker 2.0.
He's Hackenberg, bro.
That's who they're going after.
Well, then the Vikings are going to be trash for several years because J.J. McCarthy is Jake Locker 2.0. I watched the film on him. I will gladly eat crow, and especially as we get closer to the draft, I will reveal who my big draft busts are, who I think will be busts. But I will gladly eat crow if J.J. McCarthy turns out to be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. I don't see it.
I got one more comp for you.
Okay.
One more comp. Zach Mettenberger.
Or what about Christian Ponder?
Oh, God. He also played for Minnesota.
Yes. All right. Real quick, I want to throw this out here. It's something that I was just sent to me that I thought was very interesting, and somebody is drawing attention to it. So Calvin Ridley's agent is David Mugeta, who also represents T. Higgins. Okay? Calvin Ridley, who's 29 years old, just got 4 years, $92 million. It is being discussed now, while not everything is completely clear, it is being discussed that the reason the Bengals have walked away from the table from T. Higgins and why they're not negotiating and why he's mad is because he is asking, and by the way, so Calvin Ridley signed a 4-year, $92 million deal with $50 million of it fully guaranteed. It is being reported, not confirmed, but is being reported that T. Higgins is asking, or his agent at least, is asking for 4 years, $30 million a year with $65 million guaranteed.
Wait, that didn't make sense. Say it again.
T. Higgins.
4 years, 4 years how much?
$30 million per season.
Holy
shit.
$120
million with $65 of it guaranteed. Because Calvin Ridley, who is much older than T. Higgins, well, not much older, but he's like 5 years older than T. Higgins, 4 years older than T. Higgins, got 4 years, 92 with $50 million guaranteed. They have the same agent. That's why I'm saying it's being reported that Mugeta for Higgins is asking for 4 years at $30 million per season with $65 million guaranteed.
I honestly think that if he becomes a number one on another team, which he can be, he's going to really have to prove himself because he's had to see number two corners for his entire career because the number one corner is usually on Ja'Marr Chase. You're going to see real Higgins next year as a number one.
And he has Joe Burrow. If you go to Carolina and you got Bryce Young throwing you the ball,
good luck.
There's a reason why Carolina got out of the whole T. Higgins sweepstakes too. I think they don't want to pay him that much.
I think the Bengals went to T. Higgins, and I think they were willing to say, we'll pay you $20 million a year. And he doesn't want it. The Bengals know. Here's the thing. For all the shit the Bengals get for being cheap, and people are like, oh, they can't keep their own players. That's bullshit. They've always been able to keep their own players. Carson Palmer got frustrated with the organization demanding a trade. But they are always able to keep their star players. Chad Johnson, Hushman Zada, Dalton, Chad Johnson.
AJ Green was there for a while, bro.
Yeah. They've always been able to keep their top players. T. Higgins, though, I'm sorry. You don't win Super Bowls with a multitude of wide receivers. You win Super Bowls with the quarterback, a good receiver, and a great offensive line, and a solid defense. That's what wins Super Bowls. So I'm okay.
And you can flip-flop, right? You could flip-flop a bit. You could go somewhat okay O-line, great defense, right?
Yeah.
And you can move those four positions around and still be in the picture, right?
Exactly.
And here's the thing.
People are going to be mad he about is not T. Higgins leaving. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Josh.
Here's the thing. He is not Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill got a contract for $30 million a year. Well-deserved.
Yeah.
T. Higgins hasn't done enough to make $30 million a year. I'm sorry. I don't think he deserves $93 million.
No, he probably doesn't. T. Higgins is a very good receiver. I will put it, but you're right, Josh. Is he top five receiver in the league? No. No, he's not.
Justin Jefferson
can get that money. Tyreek Hill can get that money. Maybe even Ja'Marr Chase can get that money. A.J. Brown. And then, we can talk about guys like that are older that at one time, like Devontae Adams and Stephon Diggs and DeAndre Hopkins deserving that kind of money when they were in their prime. But T. Higgins is not top five. Some people might argue that I would disagree. Some people might argue he's not even the best number two receiver in the league.
Yeah. I agree with that too.
He has never had more than 7 touchdowns in a season. He's never had more – his highest amount of receiving yards in the season was 1,091, and he's never had more than 74 catches.
Jalen Waddle is a better number two, right?
Waddle
– I think Jalen Waddle over him.
Some people at the time when they were some people even say Devontae Smith. Which I don't think so, but some people will put Devontae Smith out there as a great number two, as possibly a better number two receiver. So I don't know. I like T. Higgins. I wouldn't also want to give him $28, $29, $30 million a year. I just wouldn't. I think when you have a quarterback like Joe Burrow, he makes other receivers better. I think we could draft a receiver this year. You also have Yoshi Bosch still, who flashed a little bit last year. Charlie Jones, we can see more of what he has to offer. We got Ja'Marr Chase. Trenton Irwin has looked good in certain spots with Burrow. When you have a great quarterback, just like Aaron Rodgers made guys like Jordy Nelson look fantastic, Greg Jennings look fantastic, right? When you have a special quarterback, he elevates the receivers around him. When you don't have a special quarterback, he doesn't do it. Tom Brady made Julian Edelman look like a phenomenal player.
And he did that to Wes Walker as well.
Yeah, same thing with Wes Walker as well. If Julian Edelman was on any other team, he would have been out of the league in 3 years.
Right. Absolutely. Agreed.
So... that's the thing. Burrow is a special quarterback. He can make a lot of receivers look very good. T. Higgins, wherever he goes, whether it's Chicago, whether it's Carolina,
he's not going to have Joe Burrow there.
He's not going to have a quarterback there. So he better hope wherever he goes. You know, one place I think makes a lot of sense is Jacksonville. Let him reunite with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, they just lost Ridley, so I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, and I think now you would have T. Higgins, you would have Gabe Davis there, you would have Christian Kirk. That's a pretty fucking good receiving core.
I also like T. Higgins on the Texans, believe it or not.
Yeah, but I don't want
to. So T. Higgins did come out and say what quarterback he would want to play for.
I know, he said T.J. Stroud was one of them.
T.J. Stroud, Josh Allen, and a guy in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson.
Over my dead body, would we ever trade him to Baltimore? If he signs as a free agent, there's not shit we can do about it. But, I wouldn't want to see him go to Baltimore. I would be okay with him ending up in Jacksonville. I would be okay with him ending up maybe in Houston. But we'll see.
I think
we'll
that Baltimore team is one star receiver away from knocking the doors off of something, you know?
They've been one star receiver away for years.
No, like, yeah, if they had like Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase caliber type player, you'd see a totally different team.
Maybe. I still don't think Lamar Jackson is a quarterback that can drop back 35, 40 times a game and win. I think the reason they're successful is because their defense doesn't – when Baltimore's defense was trash, they were struggling to win games. Remember when Cincinnati went on that Super Bowl run, even though Lamar Jackson was hurt for one of the games, but Joe Burrow torched the Ravens twice because their defense was really, really young and still coming together. Then their defense got really good. And Baltimore, again, ascended to being a really good team. But what Baltimore does and why they're successful and why it doesn't always work come the playoffs, but what they do is they shorten the game. Their defense doesn't allow a lot of points, and their offense can score enough points and play keep away with the run game and grind the clock out. So Baltimore is very comfortable winning a 17-13 style game. And not a lot of teams are.
Correct.
But in the playoffs, when I shouldn't say every quarterback, because sometimes there's injuries and sometimes shit happens, but when you go up against elite quarterbacks or elite defenses, Baltimore struggled. Tennessee, the year they lost.
But see, the thing is, every defense that sees that Baltimore offense, there's not a single receiver that will strike a little bit of fear. But your Jeffersons, your Chases, those are the guys that will literally make the safety sit back, right? So, like, I'm telling you, they're one-star receiver away from doing play-action shit that'll be wild, you know?
Okay.
I mean, I think they have that now. I think Zay Flowers is that guy.
Nah.
Yeah, I think
he's not
he's
that guy.
Really good.
I don't know if he is either.
Fumbled and lost the game for him.
No, it has nothing to do with that. But then after his rookie year, he's already getting into trouble.
Yeah, you could have a Henry Ruggs part two happening. You never know.
But here's the other thing.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, Zay Flowers got into trouble where he was accused of domestic battery.
Oh, so he's Ray Ricing it.
Yeah. But anyways, so Zay Flowers, yeah,
hey,
he had a nice season. He caught 77 balls for 858 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's good. But if we're going to talk, like, is he on that Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson level? Justin Jefferson in his rookie year for Minnesota caught 88 balls for 1,400 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, but that's also with a throwing offense. Baltimore's a run-first offense. They always have been.
But weren't they supposed to make the move to a more pass-friendly? Didn't Lamar Jackson come out and say he was gonna go throw for 6,000 yards? I'm just saying. Zay Flowers, yes, he looked very good to me. He looked great to me.
I think he's got a Michael Pittman. ceiling. I think
like
he has a Michael Pittman ceiling.
Receiver. I don't know that he looked like a generational receiver to me. Like, right, okay, so I'm just going to compare two receivers that were taken in the same draft class, okay? Racy Rice and Zay Flowers. Now, I get it. Racy Rice has Patrick Mahomes, but their offense struggled for the majority of the year. Is that fair or not to say?
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Racy Rice finished with 79 catches, two more than Zay Flowers, 938 receiving yards, seven touchdowns. So he put up similar numbers to Zay Flowers. Okay? Kansas City still looking for a number one receiver. They still would like T. Higgins. They still might draft one in this year's draft. They're still looking for another receiver. I think they like Racy Rice. I think they think he can be very good. I don't think they feel that Racy Rice is Justin Jefferson or Tyreek Hill or Jamar Chase or A.J. Brown.
No,
and
but I think what they have to do is they're looking at the future. I think that team is not as good without Travis Kelce. Once Travis Kelce retires.
Okay, let's go. Agreed. Kelce moved the offense almost him and Mahomes alone this year. I agree with that. But at this point, though, they've learned to play without players. They learned to play without Kareem Hunt when he left, Tyreek Hill when he left. They'll figure it out, I think.
By the way,
that's why I said I think that's why they want a number one. Is they're looking towards the future. And once Travis Kelce says, hey, I'm done, that's all I can give, that other receiver will be ready to step in, and they're clicking right back in all cylinders.
I think it's after this season, by the way, that Travis Kelce hangs it up, but we'll see. But, guys, that's truly all the time we got. We will be back at it next Wednesday.
Just so you guys know, Sasha Banks is now all elite.
Yeah, okay. Bro. I was just going to tell you.
Tonight.
But, hey, by the way, Josh, real quick before we wrap up, did you hear in her interview she said she still has unfinished business in WWE? So I feel like she goes to AEW and she maybe has signed like a 3-year contract or 4-year contract. And I feel like when that contract's up, she'll go back to WWE.
The only reason why she went to AEW is because AEW, she was asking for – like, the money that she was asking for is like Roman Reigns type of money, you know? She wanted to get paid as much as the male stars. And I get it. That's understandable, right? But the draws for a Roman Reigns match is a lot higher than it is for a Sasha Banks match, right? So you can't really pay – you can't pay her that. So that's why she went to AEW. That's from what I read.
Okay.
Well, and I don't think she liked her whole direction in – WWE either. I think there was just too many start and stop things going on with her. Pushes, there were just stop and start with it. Preferential treatment for other female wrestlers like Charlotte Flair.
And Becky Lynch.
I had to do. And Becky Lynch. Well, Becky Lynch, I think, just earned it on herself.
Okay.
I don't think that was preferential.
But see, they offered Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte money, and she said no.
I think she won it out because of Vince McMahon.
Okay.
That's why. I don't think she wanted to leave.
McMahon's not coming back anytime soon.
Nope.
So
I have a feeling with TKO holding it, I think they might open it up. They might try to open the promotion up to where we might see some crossover.
Okay.
I'm kind of hoping they do that, kind of like AEW does with New Japan. And everything.
Oh, last bit of things I also thought was
wait. Well, hold on. I want to throw in 2 cents real quick. So I was in Windsor last weekend, and I missed a TNA match there, man.
Oh, damn.
There was a TNA event there.
Yeah, there was TNA.
That would have been fun to go check out.
We got SmackDown coming in Cincinnati on April 26th, and also AEW is coming in on April 13th.
I got the tickets for SmackDown. By the way, Sam,
you forgot my ticket, bitch.
I'm coming to Michigan for the draft, are we going for the first round?
We have to go.
I already requested the Thursday off, the Thursday and the Friday off. So I'll drive up Thursday morning sometime, and then we'll go. Okay. I already registered. I'm not sure it's going to get approved, but I did register us for press passes because of our podcast.
Nice!
So
damn you to hell, and I can't go.
I know. I already asked you, too, to come up with me to go to Michigan to see Sam. So
yeah, but man, I'm already taking off for WrestleMania, so.
I know. So if we're granted press passes, we get to interview players.
Yes.
Oh, how big would our podcast get then?
So let's see.
I can't wait.
I've submitted the paperwork for press passes. So anyways,
hey, listen, guys, why can't I just show up and be like, listen, I'm the Indian Matt Patricia. Just let me in.
Thank you. Just say you are Matt Patricia. You don't have to put Indian before. Just say I got tan. I went down to Mexico for a few weeks.
I went down to Mexico.
Just don't forget, you got to put your freaking pencil in your ear.
Yeah, there you go. All right, guys, that's all the time we got. It's been a wonderful Wednesday. We will be back at it next week, and hopefully we get some theme music. It's kind of weird not having an intro or an outro, but nothing good has been submitted yet. So once I hear something that I kind of like, I'm going to send it to you guys, Josh and Sam, for you guys to sample it, tell me what you think. But everything I've gotten back has been trash so far. So we'll see what we got coming down the pike here. I got a couple more people sending me stuff this week. So hopefully it'll be something kind of catchy. But anyways, the Out of Bounds podcast will be back Wednesday, and we'll see you guys later.